everybody ready to praise and worship God?
Oh, yeah.
Lord, hallelujah. Let's just bring His presence right on in here and just get a blessing. This song is called Build My Life.
Yes.
So,
the King of Glory. Let's just stand. Those that can stand. The King of Glory.
Raise His righteous hands unto the Lord.
Song we could ever sing.
Amen. Amen.
And You're worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You. You're holy. There is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up our eyes and wonder. Show me who You are and fill me with Your heart. Lead me in Your love to those around me. Holy are You, Lord. You're worthy of every song we could. You're worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. You're worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. We live for You. You're holy. There is no one like You. There is none beside You. Open up my eyes. And I will not be shaken.
What was the name of that, Candace? All right. If you wanted to title this lesson, you could call it, Let's Trap Jesus. Let's Trap Jesus. You know, Jesus had some enemies. He had those two-legged kind of enemies, you know. And he gave us an example of how do you deal with enemies. How do you deal with enemies? Now, Jesus had come back, week-long celebration. Week-long celebration at Jerusalem. Okay, one of the three times that the Jews, if you were near Jerusalem, you came to Jerusalem and you celebrated these festivals. And so this is the festival of unleavened bread, all right? And Passover is a big part of that festival. And so Jesus is coming to Jerusalem with the disciples and with, you know, all the Jews around that could make it to Jerusalem. And this is something he doesn't often do. When you read through the Gospels, you find that Jesus generally avoids Jerusalem. He doesn't like to go to Jerusalem, you know. But he goes on the required festival times, all right? And we're going to see one of the reasons why he doesn't like to go to Jerusalem that much.
Okay.
Because he's like going into the hands of the enemy, so to speak. He says, the house of my Father is supposed to be a house of prayer. But you made it a den of thieves. What fun is it going into a den of thieves, huh? We kind of avoid those places, don't we? So Jesus only went to Jerusalem, best I can tell, when he had to. All right. And so we're going to find out a little bit about what happened, because he went there and he shows up. And this is in Mark 11. And this happens right after, you know, last week, the cursing of the fig tree.
You said Mark 11?
Mark 11. You can go to verse 27.
Okay.
It says, and they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him. Okay, now this was a group of men. It included the chief priest, the scribes, and the elders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they're burglary ganging up on him, right? Mm-hmm. All right? So Jesus knew that he was going to be attacked in Jerusalem. In fact, he knew he was going to be killed there, right? So what do you do when you know you're going to go into a fight? If we know we're going to go into a fight, what are we going to do?
Prepare,
right? Right? When David was going to go fight Goliath, Saul wanted David to prepare. Well, how was he going to get David prepared to fight Goliath?
Give him his armor.
Ah! He's going to give him Saul's armor, right?
Yeah.
But Saul's armor
had not been proven.
Saul's armor wasn't sufficient for Saul to fight Goliath. Maybe I need a different armor than what Saul has. Because Saul don't feel confident wearing his own armor going out against Goliath. Maybe I need a different armor, right? So David went out in what? The strength of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? So if you wanted a reference verse for what we're talking about today, that would be Ephesians 6. Right? When it talks about the armor that we need to wear, that we need
Amen.
To put on. Because we're not fighting against a two-legged Goliath, are we? You see, we're not fighting flesh and blood.
No.
David was not really fighting flesh and blood. David knew this was a bigger battle.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bigger battle. The Lord's going to be with me.
Yeah.
This is a bigger battle.
Mm-hmm.
We battle principalities, powers and rulers and wicked. I didn't get it in order. I was just doing it by memory. But these are the four. Principalities, wickedness, spiritual wickedness in the high.
Mm-hmm.
powers, rulers, mm-hmm. right? And so we have to prepare our armor to fight these kind of enemies, okay? We don't get our bulletproof vest and these kind of things. You know, you can read about the armor, of course, we put on. The helmet we put on is not made out of bronze or steel. It's made out of salvation, right? And so our breastplate, it's not made out of steel or shiny silver. What is a breastplate?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. And the sword that we bring out is going to be what we see Jesus using. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at this, all right? There's four groups that come to him trying to trap him, test him, okay? First one is the chief priests, scribes, and elders, and they come and they say, in verse 28, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this? Who gave this authority to do them?
Give the chapter and the verse again.
Okay, Mark 11:28. All right. And so these three groups come to Jesus and they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them? All right. So Jesus asked them, well, hey, if you want me to answer your question, you've got to answer my question. What about John the Baptist's authority? Right? And they couldn't answer it. Didn't want to answer it. So then he tells the parable of the vineyard tenants, the ones that wouldn't give the fruits to the owner of the vineyard. And when the owner sent people to him, and then finally he says, I'll send my son. And then they said, well, kill your son, and then the inheritance will be ours. And then he said, what will the owner do to these wicked tenants? He said, he will come and destroy them, right? And he will let out the vineyard to tenants who will give him their fruits in due season. In Mark 12, this is the upshot of that parable. These three groups here, the priests, the scribes, and the elders, say, and they were seeking to arrest him, but feared the people, for they perceived that he had told the parable against them.
And he did.
He did. And so they were seeking to arrest him, but they feared the people, so they left and went away. But, you know, they weren't done, were they? Because it says in Mark 12:13, the next verse, it says, and they sent to him some of the Pharisees and some of the Herodians to trap him in his talk. We weren't able to do anything. But you guys go and see what you can do. All right? You know, these guys are not always working together too well, all right? Mm-hmm. But to get Jesus, they'll work with anybody.
Yeah.
You know. So in Mark 12:14, they came, this is the Pharisees and Herodians, they came and said to him, Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay them or should we not? They're all trying to trap him, right? They tried to trap him before when they talked about authority. Now they're talking about money, right?
Taxes.
How does he answer them? Does he take a sword out and chop their heads off? He speaks with the sword of the Spirit. He speaks to them, right? Okay, let's go on down to Mark 12:18. You all know how that ends, right? Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Okay? I know y'all know this, so we can just push through this pretty quickly. All right? And in Mark 12:18, and Sadducees came to him who say there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question saying, all right, now here's the Sadducees. Here's another group. Okay? We're getting all the major groups in Jerusalem together, and they're all cooperating toward one end, Okay, we're going to see what we can do to trap Jesus. So they said to him, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but leaves no child, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother." They quote the law. Then they bring a hypothetical instance here. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and when he died, left no offspring. And the second took her and died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise. And the seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as wife. Tricky question. Tricky question, right? But Jesus was prepared for an answer. He had his armor on, right? He had the Word of God in his mind, right? Of course, it was the Word of God. But he's given us an example of how do you respond to your enemies? How do you respond to those who are trying to trap you? And believe me, people are trying to trap Christians all the time.
Amen. That is so true.
All the time. So, of course, y'all know what he said. You know, you don't need to know the scriptures nor the power of God. He says, you don't know the scriptures. You need to get in the book and read the scriptures. Okay, because you don't know them. So that's how he responded to them. We won't go into all that. But then in Mark 12:28, here comes a guy. It says in Matthew that he came to test him, the scribe. You know, this is one guy came to test it. I'm going to test him, see what he knows. Yeah. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Y'all know how Jesus answered. He said,
"Love your God with all of your heart."
Yes. And the second is likened to it, right? And the scribe, in verse 34, said, well, actually, the scribe said, "You have answered well," because that is the best way to sum up, you know, all of the law and the prophets, is that. And then Jesus had this response to it, all right? In verse 34, he says, "And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely," all right, without deceit, without trickery, "he answered wisely. He said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God. You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" Now, when he said this, look what happened next. To finish that verse, it says, "And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions." So, what does he do? What does Jesus do? Well, let's see. It says in the 35th verse, and I'll read a few of them here. It says, "And as Jesus taught in the temple, he said, 'How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' David himself calls him Lord. So how is he his son?" Well, no one had an answer. But it says, "And the common people heard him gladly." So if I was going to put another group up here, I'd put common people. The common people heard him gladly. Well, that's a change. That's a change. The religious leaders, you would think, would be the ones that really recognized Messiah and welcome them in. But no, in this case, it's the common people that heard it gladly and didn't try to trick it, didn't try to trap it. Jesus fought and defeated his enemies with what weapon? A sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we can do the same. We can do the same. Put on our armor, right? Know where our salvation is. Know where our righteousness is. Right? Know truth. Right? And don't forget to know the sword of the Spirit, to know the Word of God, and to know how to answer wisely.
Yep.
Amen? Okay, we better finish up here. I'll pray over the food. Father, we thank you so much for the food. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. Bless them, Father. Father, we bless our fellowship time together. We've had fellowship and communion. Now we're going to have communion and fellowship. And we thank you for that, Father. Thank you so much for loving us. Be with each preacher that preaches the word today. May they speak the truth with boldness, Father. And may we remember to put on our armor every day, to know the word of God and to use it. And to recognize those that are trying to trap us and recognize those that will receive the word with gladness. Thank you, Father. Bring glory and honor to your name and glory and honor to your Son, Jesus, through us, Father. Amen. Okay. Yeah.
There's a scripture in the Old Testament, sorry, I don't know where it is. It says that every word that was raised against us, we shall cast down and show to be in the wrong, because that is the heritage of the children of God. And if you think about it, Satan is called the accuser of the people. He is called the slanderer.
Yes.
So those people with that same spirit, if you work for God, you're going to have people coming.